Okay, shall I start?
Yes, Aga, Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin. Wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salawatullahi alayhim ajma'in. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين وعلى أخيه أبا الفضل العباس Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me another opportunity to start share our dialogues together around the subject of knowledge, the differences between the knowledge in Hawza, Alimiya, and the modern knowledge. But you see, my brothers and sisters, before we start talking about the differences between the knowledge which is going to be studied in Hawza, and of course, the other characteristics which everyone separately have, I just wanted to, explain two specific prerequisites, or it's better to say prefaces. First, I explained and we said and talked about the importance of knowledge. You see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many different ways has explained about the knowledge. So this is one, prerequisites that we talk about as a preface before we start our main topic. And also another things, which ilm, which knowledge, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking so much about knowledge, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that knowledge is very important, what type of knowledge does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? Is it the real, knowledge, which is usual and common in the society, or no? Another knowledge Islam means when is talking about ilm, when talking about knowledge, and what type of science does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? And finally, inshallah, in the next session, we will talk about the differences in characteristics, the differences between the knowledge in Hawza Ilmiya, knowledge which is, ulama and tulab are studying in Hawza, and the difference between the modern knowledge, and something like this as well. So I think it is a good idea first to start talking about what type of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, what type of knowledge. And then finally, we will understand the differences between these two. So this idea goes back to, two specific, beliefs. Our beliefs, okay, are based on different things. You see, there is a view, there is a perspective which says the human is the base of everything, and humanism, which is based on the idea of humanism, they say that human beings are the base of everything. Everything which is in the world must be spent for only human beings. This is one idea. This idea believes that there is no life after this life. Whatever you see is are the things which are around you and nothing more. So if you imagine, you know, this belief, you find out that, you know, they say because of that, knowledge is something which is going to help the human beings to live better. So why? Because they believe that everything is limited in this world. There is no other world. Human beings after death are going to, you know, finish everything. Everything is finished after death. And because of that, because we are living right now, we need a type of knowledge which is going to help human being to live better. So because of this, you know, perspective, this point of view, they start, okay, to manage a specific knowledge which is going to be useful for this worldly life of human beings. As like as the physics, you know, chemistry, mechanic, and the other knowledges as well. So this is one idea which is based on the idea of humanism. So humanism is, you know, talking like this. The other view, the second one, there is another belief and idea, which Islamic belief and idea is based on that. This idea says that everything is not going to be limited in this world. There will be another world, okay, another life after death. So you see, my brothers and sisters, the differences are like this. The first idea says everything is going to be limited in this world. Because of that, human beings must try to live in this world in a better way. Okay, we put it aside. We will go to another idea. The other idea, the other point of view says human beings after death are going to have another life. So this idea says we do not reject the idea of the first one. We say that, yes, we have to live in a better way in this world, but we have another life. So we have to do something for the next life. It is also very important. Living not only in this world, but only in hereafter, okay, so make us to do something as like as, you know, the specific ideas for knowledge. So because of that, we say that not only we will try to do our best to live in this world, but also we will try to do our best in hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, human beings need a kind of knowledge which is going to be useful for them to live not only in this world, but in hereafter. So we put these two ideas together. What do we understand from that? What will be the, we say, consequence? The consequence is this one. When we are talking about the knowledge, according to the first perspective, to the first point of view, to the first view, we have to, you know, just explain knowledge in one way. But according to the second view, to the second perspective, we will describe knowledge in another way. So because of that, we say that the Islamic idea is much more closer to the second one. So because of that, Islam does not say that the knowledge is going to be limited in these, for example, several knowledges. No, we need another type of knowledge which is going to make us ready to live in a better way in hereafter. You see, as like as a baby, the baby which is in the womb of the mother, which has not come to this world yet. So she or he imagines that the life is limited just only this small space around her or around him. Eating, drinking, and breathing is so limited. So when the baby comes to the world, understands that, yeah, the world is so wider, living is so different from the life which was before. So in hereafter, something like this will happen. In some rivaya, we have the life of hereafter comparing to the life of this world is as like as the life in this world comparing with the life in the mother's womb. The child which has not been born yet, okay, in a small space, and she or he thinks that everything in his world, in her world, has been limited in a small space. But when the baby comes to the world, understands that no, the world is so wider, there is another world, which is better than the previous one. So in different riwayas, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam described that living in hereafter, shows us a very, very, very better life than the life which we have in this world. You see, my brothers and sisters, I do not want to give the philosophy or something to prove hereafter, but we all know that this world is limited, completely limited. How the world is limited, you see, if you want to punish a criminal, this world is so limited that you cannot, justly punish a criminal. You suppose a person as like as Hitler, who has killed many, many, many people. I do not know millions less or more, but many people have been killed by, Hitler. So you take Hitler in a court, you put it here, and just you see a teenager, 18 years teenager, who has killed his friend, for example. When he was so sad, he started to kill he fighted with his own friend, and he killed him. So we take him also in the court. So Hitler, who has killed many people, millions of people in one way, and this, teenager who has killed, or this young person who has killed just one person in this place. So we want to judge. The most severe punishment for both of them will be death, nothing more. Do we have something more than death? The most severe punishment will be death. Yeah. We just, kill them. So killing a person who has killed just one person, comparing with a person who has killed millions of the people, it is not, just. Why? Because this world does not have the capacity. This world does not have the capacity, not for punishment nor for rewards. Okay, so because of that, we need another life which is being called hereafter. So ma'ad and resurrection, can be proved by our aql, can be proved by our, reason, intellect. So Islam, an Islamic idea, is based on this, point of view, this perspective. And because of that, Islam says knowledge is a little bit different from the other knowledges that the people are studying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's talking about knowledge, he says that we need a type of knowledge which is going to be useful, not only for this world, but only for hereafter. So because of that, the explanation of knowledge will be different according to this idea. So because of that, we see that, yeah, if somebody studies mechanics, mechanics is good. Computer sciences are good. Chemistry is good. I do not know. The other, you know, modern knowledges are good. Islam does not reject them. But Islam says it is not enough. You need some other types of knowledge, which is going to help you to live better for hereafter. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." This world is as like as a farm, but for hereafter, for the day of resurrection, for the day of judgment. Yeah, we are going to just plant something here, but consequently in hereafter, we are going to take use of them. Because of that, we see the meaning of knowledge will be different completely according to the Islamic idea. So also we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some other ayahs says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماوات وعارض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving different ideas that, you know, everything that you see in the world are going to be as a kind of sign, as a kind of sign that after this life, after death, we are going to have another, you know, life. Anyhow, so because of that, we see that there are some specific knowledges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means we have to study. So the people who are studying in Hawza, consequently, because of the we say emphasizes of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and different ayahs, are going to study a type of knowledge which is going to be useful for hereafter. Because the people naturally will go to learn whatever they need for their own life. Yeah, you see that even right now in universities of the world, there are specific majors that are going to, you know, teach you how to cook just for eating. It is very simple, but yes, they will go to universities to learn how to cook, to eat more delicious foods. Yes, naturally, human beings are going to develop their own knowledge about whatever is a need for them. But how about the next life, that we cannot see the next life? Because we do not see it, we are not going to prepare them. Unfortunately, the people, not only Muslims, all of the people are not prepared well for hereafter. So because of this, that one, Islam emphasizes on the knowledge which is going to be useful for hereafter. So where do we have to gain those knowledge? One of the sources is Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to show us the way. So because of that, we have to understand Quran. So we need tafasir, we need commentaries and exegesis of the Holy Quran. So this is one of the knowledge which is going to be studied in Hawza, to understand the verses of the Holy Quran better. We need it for hereafter, because there are not all of the people are ready to study such a things. Because of that, we see just a few people go to Hawza Ilmiya and study tafasir and study the fiqh, jurisprudence, study the commentaries of the Holy Quran and the other knowledges, which is going to be useful for hereafter. And after that, they are going to go to the society and let the other ones to know them. Yes, not everyone can be a physician himself. Whatever I have a pain in my body, I will refer to a physician. When I need to build a building, I will refer to an engineer. When I, for example, I want to fix my car, I refer to a mechanic or something like this. So, because we need and we have to know about having a better life for hereafter, so we have to refer to those who have knowledge about, you know, Islamic sciences. So ulama in Hawza Ilmi are going to study such a knowledge. Okay, I think this is one of the main and basic reasons that why in Hawza Ilmiyat tulab, fudala, ulama are going to study something different. Yes, you go to university, you have a specific major. In your major, different topics are going to be studied. In Hawza Ilmiyat, exactly these specific topics are going to be studied. Why? Because we need to develop our knowledge. My brothers and sisters, again, I want to say that when we are at the time of infallible imams and ma'asumin, for example, those people who were at the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and after that, the people who were living at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Okay, because they were not so many, they could easily refer to the Holy Prophet, they could easily refer to Imam Ali alayhi salam and ask their own questions and so on. But you see, at the time of Imam Muhammad al-Baghir and Imam Ja'far al-Sadir, which is almost 100 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islamic, you know, lands has been expanded. Many people have become Muslims, and now they need Islamic knowledges. So we see Imam Ja'far al-Sadr alayhi salam thinks that he alone is not enough. So he started to just teach people. More than 4,000 students were studying with Imam Ja'far al-Sadr alayhi salam. Only in a period of 8 years. Around 8 years, Imam Ja'far al-Sadr alayhi salam started to teach more than 4,000 students. And then Imam alayhi salam asked them to go to their own lands, spread them in different places, and ask them, okay, to teach people, to let the people know about that. And you see, even right now, when Imam alayhi salam is not in prison, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten in the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Okay, but unfortunately, because Imam alayhi salam is not among us, he is among us, we cannot see him. Because of that, so we have to study the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which is a need for the next life, which is a need for having a better life here, to be prepared for the next life, okay, is going to be taught in different Hawza Ilmiyas. And inshallah, for the next session, I will explain about the topics, which topics are going to be studied in Hawza, how much, and how a person who has started for the first time in Hawza Ilmiya, he will be knowledgeable about those specific topics. And do they have different ranks, as like as the ranking in the universities, or so somebody will be a professor, somebody is an engineer, doctor, or so and so and so. Is it the same in Hawza Ilmiya, and how we can understand it, inshallah, for the next session? We will explain more. So We explain about the topics and rankings in the whole Al-Almiya and something which is related to these, you know, topics. I think 30 minutes has passed, my brothers and sisters. Thank you very much for being with us. I am at your service for, you know, questions if you have. Thank you very much. I am at your service.
Jazakallah, mashallah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes,
I hope that we have, yes.
Yes, Aga, you want to say something?
No. Just I wanted to again appreciate you and the people who are in the room for listening to me, and I hope that it was useful for you. Okay, somebody asked something.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I am basically a student of medicine.
Medicine, yes.
And I have a question. Is it really possible to, you know, take modern studies as well as Hausa studies simultaneously?
Sorry, again, your question. Sorry, again, your question.
Is it possible to go for modern studies and Hausa studies simultaneously?
Yes, yes. Yes, my sister, okay. Also, I remember in some previous sessions, some other ones wanted to know about that. You see that studying in Hausa, sometimes officially you will join a Hausa Almiya and you become a Talaba, you become a student in Hausa, okay. But sometimes you just want to learn the knowledge. It is different. So right now, alhamdulillah, we see that in different Hausa Almiyas and in different even Buyut of Maraje, we see that they are going to teach people through the internet, or also you can listen to their own voices. I mean, you refer to their own sites, download their own classes, listen to them and learn yourself, you know, in a different ways. And also in virtual universities right now are available. Alhamdulillah, virtual universities are available. And I will try to send the addresses of those universities. I remember, for example, E-Hausa in Australia, which is managed by Sheikh Mansour Lagai, and many other houses which belongs to Shia Muslims, not only in Iran or maybe Iraq, but in other places, alhamdulillah, are available. So you can go and learn both of them, and you need to develop your knowledge in this way. That will be enough, inshallah.
Can I share the eHausa website on the
screen? Just eHausa by Mansour Lagai. Let me type it.
Yeah. It's on the screen.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Thank you, my brother. Yeah, Sheikh Mansour Lagai. Yeah, this is, I do not know which city of Australia, but Sheikh Mansour Lagai is so famous for more than 20 years. He is trying his own best to develop the knowledge of Shia. Many people from all over the world who are living there, okay, are taking part, participating in the classes, and it is one of the best ones. And also, some other ones, you can easily Google it and find it out. Thank you, my brothers and sisters.
Yes, is there any other question? Someone asked in the tool.
Assalamu alaikum, Aga.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
My English is not so good, but I am trying to ask my question, whether I am conveying or not.
My
question is that many ulama are doing their job well, according to spread deen. But in the result, people are not more interested or in the deen.
Okay.
What is the reason? Is there the reason our guna or the other thing?
Yes. You see it. We cannot say that the reason is because of the crimes and gunah that we had. No, we cannot say that consequently it is because of that. Maybe sometimes, but there are different, we say reasons that they gather together and the people are like this. For example, you see, I remember sometimes somebody referred to me. He said that I like to study in Hausa so much. But unfortunately, my father says, so it is very important. He says, my father says, if you go to Hausa, you are not going to be a rich person. Yeah, because in Hausa, you are not going to earn a lot of money. So it's better for you to go and study this major or that major. It doesn't mean specifically that his father, okay, he's not a good person. He is a bad person. He is a wicked person. No. Just he wanted to help his son to have a better life because they were not living in a good way. So they were poor people, maybe. Or no, if they were not, he didn't want his son to be a poor person. Yes, because the knowledge that the people are going to study in Hausa does not help them to earn money. Because of that, not anyone is interested in studying in Hausa. But I want to say that no problem. You can have your own job, okay? You can have your own studies in universities, in different majors. If you're a physician, if you're a mechanic, if you're whatever, a teacher or so and so. But beside that, you also can, learn from different houses the knowledges that you need. For example, we need Holy Quran. We can refer to different tafasir, studying myself. And also we can join different classes which are going to be held online or maybe something like this. Yeah, we say we can put both of them together, no problem. If you have such idea in your mind, it is not because of this reason, it is not because of the guna. It is maybe because of the atmosphere sometimes around you, because of the atmosphere. But unfortunately, we can see some people that whatever good things that they see, okay, they hate it. You see that somebody is saying prayer, he is for namaz. You see some person over there says that, oh, all the time you say prayer? You see, because of the wicked things that he had in his own mind, he disliked namaz, he disliked prayer. Yeah, those people, we put them aside. But the things that you mentioned is because of different reasons, sometimes because of the atmosphere and so on. I hope that my answer will be useful.
Can you see the question on the screen?
Yes. Some people, you know, ask me to share information about Hausa in Iran and Iraq. And oh, sorry. Yes. Please give more details about the procedure of admission in Hausa. Okay. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, for the next session, specifically and, you know, by categorized, I will explain more about the topics like this. But because you ask me right now, briefly, I will answer. Yes, a person who started studying in Hausa, first of all, he needs the language of religion. Yeah, you see that most of the sources of Islamic sources are in Arabic. So because of that, we need to learn Arabic because we have to refer to them. We have to refer to Holy Quran. We have to refer to Ahadith. So because of that, without knowing Arabic language, we cannot directly refer to, you know, the sources of the Holy Quran. It is very important for us to just study Arabic. So for a few years, it depends on, but for first of all, they study Arabic because they need to refer to the, resources of the Islam, as like as the Holy Quran, as like as traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and so on. And not only those, but also the other books which has been written before. After that, little by little, they will go to be knowledgeable about the other topics which are related to Islam, as like as jurisprudence, as like as mantiq or reason, as like as intellect, as like as we say philosophy, as like as ilmul kalam, or we say aqaid, theology, Islamic theology, and something like this. One by one, inshallah, the next session, I will explain. Another question came, share information about Hausa in Iran and Iraq. Mostly the Hausa in Iran and Iraq are somehow as like as each other. You see that it goes back to the history, but you see most of the ulama who were in Iraq and they based the basics for the Hausa Almiya in Najaf, they mostly were Iranian. And because of that, right now we cannot find out big differences between them. But many years before, I mean, several centuries before, the ideas of people in Iraq was a little bit different because they were Akhbari. And after that, Usuliyin came to existence. But right now, I think no differences about the way of studying in Hausa in Iraq and Iraq. You see that basically recently, contemporarily, Ayatollah Khoui, who was the head of Hausa in Najaf, okay, was basically from Iran. And now in Iran, most of the ulama, okay, that some of them right now are living right now, they were the students of Ayatollah Khoui. So we see that they are following the same way. Alhamdulillah. So another question appeared here. Please tell. Okay. Inshallah, we will pray for everyone, who has a disease. So because of that, I ask everybody to three times recite this ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم اشف كل مريض لا سيما المريض المريضة المنذورة inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and everyone who has a problem healthy, inshallah, by the barakah of Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam. If another salam question alaykum. Is here, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Yes.
I am not really sure if this is off topic, but since I have this question in my mind for a long time, so I thought maybe it could be something that maybe admin can answer as well. My question is basically related to the research side of Hauza and our ulama in terms of contemporary world. Like, I have a question. You know, there is a book called The Secret, if you have heard of that. I'm not sure, but there is this law of attraction that the world is talking about in terms of, you know, you think positive, you get positive. It is something in those lines, but there is a lot more to it than just this statement. But I don't really find any of our scholars talking about that from Islamic perspective for now. And I actually requested some of people in my town to maybe arrange a question answer session or a seminar or a lecture related to this topic. But somehow our scholars are not very maybe ready, or maybe they're reluctant to address this issue. So I don't know, where do I put these kind of questions if I have them in my mind, that how does Islam see the law of attraction?
Okay, sorry. Sorry for interruption. I missed the topic. Which was the topic that you wanted to research for?
The law of attraction.
The law of?
Attraction.
Attractions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the book called The Secret, which is, it is basically about Guman, you know. I know that we do have this thing in Islam that whatever we think, or whatever how we assume Allah to be, He is like that with us. If we think of Him as a merciful God, He is merciful to us. But if we think of Him, maybe if we expect bad, that, you know, there's something bad going to happen to us, or something negative happening in our life, then we receive those negative energies and we just go on like that. But I don't really find, I tried to find, but I don't really know any of the scholars addressing this topic from, especially from our community. So I'm not very sure where can I raise the questions that I have related to this topic.
Okay. yes, my sister, when we say that Islam has the answer for everything, and by referring to those ayahs as like as this one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever was a need for people, has mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَلَا رَتْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever you need is in the Holy Quran. So because of that, we say that whatever is in our mind, we have to refer to those people who are knowledgeable about Islamic knowledge and ask them. Yes, alhamdulillah, right now the Islamic knowledge has been categorized differently. And by referring to those ulamas, you see that everyone is, specifically has studied in one branch of knowledge, Islamic knowledge. And I can find out a good maybe site, or maybe a good teacher, a scholar, or so on, that you can refer to him to receive your answer. Yes, I myself have not studied something like this about the topic that you mentioned, but I think I can find specific maybe books or scholars that they can join you. You can join them and ask them your own question. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you so much. That would be really kind of you. I would be really looking forward to it.
Inshallah.
Yes, Fatima. Sister Fatima, you can ask question.
Assalamu alaikum, Aga.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Aga, that I have a doubt that Mujtahideen said that sajda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will perform namaz, Ziyarat-e-Ashura of namaz, Imam Hussain al-Islam. Then what should be the niyat? Because here we are performing sajda for Imam Hussain al-Islam. Because I always think that Imam Hussain and Shahada Masumin al-Islam is Qibla for me. So.
Okay, so Ziyarat-e-Ashura is very important. The way of reciting Ziyarat Ashura has been mentioned in different books, as like as Mafatih al-Janan, which also has been translated in different languages. I know as well in English, Urdu, Arabic basically is Arabic, Persian, and some other languages I know as well, and very easy, you can Google it and find the translation. The way of reciting Ziyarat Ashura, performing that, has been mentioned in this book. Not only this book, but there are some other books which is related to, you know, Ziyarat differently. But Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, as one of the Ma'asumin, is a sample. We see referring to the words of Imam Ja'far al-Sadr alayhi salam. I mean the Imams who have been living after Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Not only Imam Sajjad, who is the son of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, who is the grandson of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadr alayhi salam, till Imam al-Ridha, and the other Ma'asumin alayhi salam, all of them have mentioned the importance of Ziyarat Ashura. So Ziyarat Ashura can be recited in two ways. If it is possible for you to go to Karbala and recite this Ziyarat there, it is, of course, for better. If not, you can stay home, okay, directing toward Karbala or maybe Qibla, and then recite Ziyarat Ashura. And the Ziyarat Ashura, which is going to be mentioned, has 100 times salam to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and 100 times la'an to the enemies of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This part, that we say assalamu alayki ya Abu Abdullah wa ala rawah allati halla bi fana'ik to the end, must be recited 100 times. Yeah, 100 times must be recited this part. And the second one, which is containing la'ana for the enemies of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, also that one must be, you know, recited and mentioned 100 times again. But if you do not have time, just for once is enough. It is enough. But the specific Ziyarat Ashura, which has been mentioned, and they say will give you an specific reasons or so on, this is the Ziyarat Ashura with 100 times salam and 100 times la'an. Okay. I seek your prayer, my sister and everyone. Thank you. Okay, the question is this one by Major, and it is not. Unfortunately, this I do not know the person. Maybe you can refer to the other scholars, or I can ask some questions about this Sheikh Arif Abdul Hussein. Yes, unfortunately, I do not know him. Yes, I can ask some questions about him. He said Taqlid is interested by Marja, and it is not in Quran. He is listened to by, yeah. Yes, Taqlid is something, my brother, you see. Because I do not know this person, I do not know whatever exactly what he has said. But if it is correct that he has said something like this, I easily can answer this person, easily. So, Islamic knowledge, this is very important. You see, my brothers and sisters, Islamic knowledge are need for us or not? Do we need to have Islamic knowledge or not? So if no, it's finished. Yeah, we are not a Muslim. We want to be a Christian or no, whatever we want. If you want to be a Muslim, do we need to have Islamic knowledge or not? The answer will be yes. So Islam says either you go and study and be mujtahid yourself. Okay, it is very important. You yourself go and study Islamic knowledge to be mujtahid yourself, to understand, to take use of the Holy Quran, whatever you need. You refer to ahadith and take use of them, or you go and ask someone who knows. It is very easy. Yeah, it is by referring to your aqil. Yeah, if I have a pain in my body, so either I am a doctor, I am a physician, or not. If I am a physician, alhamdulillah, I cure myself. If I am not, so what should I do? I refer to someone who knows. I refer to a person who can cure my pain, my disease. Yeah, it is very easy. I want to know about Islam. Either I have to go and study my whole life about Islam. If not, I do not have enough time. I refer to someone who has studied before. This is being called taqlid. It is very easy. It is intellectual. It is accepted by aql. Not every person can have all of the knowledges in the world for himself. Yeah. So you want to make a table. You refer to a competitor because you cannot be a physician. You cannot be an engineer. You cannot be a mechanic. You cannot be a carpenter at the same time. Yeah. So you will be one of them, but when you need something else, you refer to them. As like as Islamic studies, you want to know the ideas of Islam about this question, about that question. Either you have to go and study yourself. If you do not have time, you refer to a person, you ask him. This is being called taqlid. Taqlid is being accepted by aql. How they can reject it? How they say that it is not being mentioned in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has said, Fas'alu ahla zikr. Fas'alu ahla zikr means ask those people who have knowledge. By referring to the riwayah, they say this ayah is about Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Yes, exactly. So we have to go to Ahlul Bayt. At the same time that we are living and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are not available for everyone, what should we do? We refer to the hadith of Imam al-Asr, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. He told us in this riwayah, farja'u ila ruwati ahadithina. What does it mean? You have to refer to those people who have studied our ahadith. This is the hadith, a very, very, very famous hadith from Imam al-Asr, Imam Zaman. So he also told us, at the same time that we are not among you, you refer to those people who have knowledge, Islamic knowledge. It means refer to ulama. This is the meaning of taqlid. Thank you, my brother.
Jazakallah. Can we conclude now?
Thank you. I think that the time is enough. Finished. Inshallah, for the next session, I am at your service.
Can you conclude with dua?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma, I will say the du'as in Arabic, inshallah, it is acceptable for everyone. Allahumma ajjal li waliyika al-faraj wal-afiyata wal-nas waj'alna min khayri a'wanihi wa ansarihi wal-mustashhadina bayni yadayh. I first of all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us our beloved Mahdi Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif and hasten in his reappearance, because the, all problems are going to be solved by reappearing of Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. I ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make shifa for every person who has a disease, specifically for Muslims and Shia Muslims all over the world. I ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, O Allah, please remove the problems of the Muslims who, wherever they are living. Muslims, unfortunately, nowadays, they have a problem, specifically Shia. Shia are alone. Shia Muslims are not too many. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala by the aim and help of Imam Al-Asr, Imam Zaman, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif, to help our Shia Muslims to make the word of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in a better way. Allahumma Ameen. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum.